The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is fueled by Cody Road and recorded in the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studio.
All right, guys, we're underway. It is officially March Madness. It's officially the postseason, Rob. How are you doing today?
Doing okay. I've got a little bit of a raspy voice, I guess I'll sound especially grizzled for this fine affair.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've already been sick twice this year, so there's no chance I get sick a third time during Kansas City week. So I'm pumped. You're going to be down there for both the men's and women's. We're going to be previewing the women's tournament today, obviously. Billy Finley's joining us, joining me, in a little bit. Already recorded that, so kind of a little out of order here. But, man, you excited for this one? Iowa State sneaks into the double bye. They'll play Saturday as the four seed. Don't know who they'll play yet. It will likely be Baylor. But you win that game, there's a day of rest in between, and then it's, you know, full bore to the championship on Monday and Tuesday if they can manage to run it back like they did last year.
Well, first, I dispute your characterization of, quote, sneaking in to the double bye. I think they fully earned it.
I'm not putting them down. You can't be doing me like that.
I know. I'm just trying to make sure you're precise with your language, Connor. Precise with your words. But no, I mean, it's a great situation. Who would have guessed, right? For Iowa State, you know, with five freshmen playing key roles, Emily Ryan sitting out almost the entire non-conference season, all the departures, of course, that were after last season, but. Great job by them. 1 more win than last season. You had Ashley Jones and a full cohort of people who had been there a long time. It's a huge achievement and a lot of opportunity for Iowa State. It looks like they'll probably face Baylor, which is a tough matchup. But, hey, you're already, you know, this deep and you're already in the NCAA tournament. So embrace every challenge as an opportunity, cliche or not.
It's really impressive to, you know, improve on any conference record that you had, especially a winning one, I should say, going with five freshmen, no matter how you do it. Obviously, that start to conference play they had, they were really hot. They had some freshman wall moments. I think just about every player on the squad could say that they had theirs at some point this season, but a lot of them playing their best basketball towards the end to use another damn cliche, apologies to you, Rob, but they're peaking at the right time. Hannah Bellinger's playing the best she's played all season. She was electric on Saturday in Cincinnati. You have, you know, Jalen Bristow that came on during that Houston road game for that half, whatever stretch of play that was. It's, you know, if you can get that out of your role players and they can really come on to themselves, it's going to be really tough to beat Iowa State this weekend.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I think Texas is a buzzsaw. I mean, if they get to that, but Baylor's going to be tough enough. But I think it's been a theme all season that Audie Crooks gives you almost constant, you know, 15 or more and 7 or 8 more boards. Addie Brown will give you a fair amount of rebounds and assists. And, of course, we know she had a lot of double-doubles and occasionally really pop scoring-wise, like she did with 24 a couple games back. She's done that three times this year, I think. And then Jalen Bristow, Kelsey Jones, and Ariana Jackson giving them big boosts at times. I think Jackson is the biggest surprise to me because maybe she was, quote, the least highly touted, if you want to say, you know, the stars are not the same thing when you look at women's basketball recruiting as men's because – not as many people go deep on it and all that. So there's not as much controversy there, but obviously a great player. Roosevelt came from a Cyclone family. Dad played for Dan McCartney. Brother, played for Matt Campbell. And they're at every game. So, I mean, I think she's been the most pleasant surprise. Not that you wouldn't expect her to be good, but the way she defends, her ability to hit big threes and to create that shot and space for herself. I'm just really impressed with her. But, of course, we got some Big 12 awards today that I think to no one's surprise, and you can recap those if you'd like.
Yeah, Billy and I touched on them a little bit, but to go down the whole list, Audie Crooks was unanimously named to the All-Big 12. first team. Both of them were named onto the All Big 12 freshman team. It's the third time. What's that?
Both her and Addie Brown. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't say Addie Brown's name. Thank you for that. But both on the all freshman team. That's the third time in program history that happened. That was Emily Ryan and Lexi Denarski. I believe Shauna Johnson and Jada Buckley back in 2014, if I remember right. So I read a release that wasn't a brain pull or anything.
That's good. I take credit for it, man, whenever you can.
Award season is among us. We'll see, you know, Bill Finley's never won a coach of the year. Never won a Big 12 coach of the year. It's that kind of shocks people when you remind them of it. It shocks me for sure. I guess it did for a bit. Obviously, I've been covering women's basketball for 6 years now. So do you think this is the year?
I don't know how he doesn't get it, given the completely remade program, heavy reliance on freshmen. Audie Crooks talked about it. As good as she was in high school, and she was great for Algona Garrigan, but a small school. You know, no one thought it would translate to this level, let alone college. You know, there'd be a lot more bumps in the road for her, but she kind of came in and, yeah, she built up her stamina. I know Finley said that's one of the biggest things that's been impressive about her is her ability to get into the conditioning program, the strength program, and really run with it now that she can play 30 minutes a game plus and when they need her to. Obviously, ideally, I think she's getting spelled by Nelly Nadabu, a decent amount. Because she can contribute very nicely as well. But, how do you not? I mean, look, Jenny Baranchuk, I mean, after that terrible non-con for Oklahoma, to do what they did in the league certainly merits strong consideration. But I think when you look at what people expected Bill to have and the results to this point, I would think you should get it. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I would look at Oklahoma. I might look at Texas.
Throw in Texas too. Yeah. But you lose Rory Harmon and yet you still dominate most of the league play.
Yeah. It is kind of odd. Like I went on kind of a deep dive a couple years back with awards and stuff because the players should be honored. They should be proud to get said awards. Every year though, Rob, there's programs in the state that feel wronged by the lists that players are put on or left on, that coaches are put on or left on. And every year there seems to be they probably gave it to him because this guy won last year. Mm-hmm. So he couldn't repeat for player of the year, like what might happen in that conference over there this season, right? I don't know. I think Bill Finley's a terrific bet. Terrific head basketball coach, no matter if he has one or not. And I don't take any importance, I guess. I don't take any value in the awards other than the players earned them and they should be proud that they got them. If that makes sense.
Oh yeah. I mean, we're back in cliche territory. All those things are nice, but you know, it's all about winning. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, I think they matter to people individually, and most of them will admit, hey, it's nice, I appreciate it. But it's sublimated to winning, of course, because it's true. I mean, you want to win. You know, you don't sign up to win an award and maybe be on a team that, UCF had the leading scorer in the league. Well, UCF did not have a good team, even giving Iowa State a bad loss down there in Orlando. But it is – whatever. Yeah,
let's talk stuff that matters, the games. As you said, Texas on the other side of the bracket, I think, is a pretty highly touted pick to make it to the end. Tommy's calling me. I'm not sure what that's about. We'll figure that out later. But is that your favorite? Is that your pick to win too?
Texas?
Yeah.
I think so.
I know with – how the Oklahoma games went with them and that rivalry could go. It's one of my big rules of sports betting. And I'm not sure if it's advice telling you not to bet, but don't bet rivalry games ever under any circumstances.
Yeah. Blackwell's so good. And excuse me, Texas is, You know, Oklahoma's offense is no joke. I mean, they're extremely impressive. And when they get going, they can beat anybody. And
think about what this team did at Hilton, and they, you know, nearly knock off Iowa in that game. They were tied with them with 4.5 to go, or 4:57 left, I think, if I remember right. But Oklahoma kept Iowa State out of the game the whole time. No one's been able to do that. They finished 16-17. Wait, I went the wrong way. I think it was 15-2 at Hilton. I think it was 8-1 in the Big 12.
Arguably Texas did too, but they did hang around a little bit more with Texas longer, because, like, as you said, Oklahoma excuse me, was very much kind of
started. I've done more at Hilton, but you're exactly right. Texas also put a ton of space between them and kept it there. So obviously that would be the semifinal projected matchup if there isn't an upset in the quarterfinals, and Iowa State gets to the semis against Oklahoma. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out, and especially with this new bracket. I'll be interested to see if anyone from Thursday makes it all the way to Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree there. I guess I wouldn't be shocked, but, yeah, I'd be very surprised, as you said. And keep in mind, Baylor, the reason I'm kind of not bullish on that matchup, their head coach made a point to say, man, I really wish we had a shot at Iowa State at our place this year. After she was very complimentary, talked about how Bill had recruited her and all that stuff. You know, we really wish we had a shot. Well, they're going to get a shot at them as a lower seed in the Big 12 tournament and on the quote-unquote big stage at the T-Mobile Center. So I just think that's going to be really tough. But if Iowa State brings its offense and can take care of the basketball reasonably well, there's no reason. They match up okay with Baylor, I feel like, and that should be a fun game one way or the other.
Now, Rob, I always like to call you an old ball head, old ball knower.
Old ball head. I'm an old ball head.
The changed depth perception from Hilton Coliseum to the T-Mobile Center for the first time, usually playing this tournament in municipal. Now, that I'll say that's less comparable because there are less players on this team that played at municipal. Is the depths of the T-Mobile Center going to be something to look for?
I sure hope not. I mean, they, you know, it's a nice arena. I feel like the sight lines are good. Obviously, anytime you play in arena for the first time this season, and as you said, converse of, you know, all the freshmen haven't played at Municipal. The few seniors, you know, the Emily Ryans and the Naidus, they haven't played it at T-Mobile either. But I don't think that should be an issue, but it certainly can be. Hopefully they have the right basketball too, right? The basketball doesn't have a bad feel yet down the men's side before.
10 years ago, that was a hot topic.
I feel like their shooting when they're on should travel. Should travel to wherever they go in the NCAA tournament as well. But it should be a fun tournament. I know you'll be there for us. Since the Gazette is not sending me, I went ahead and got credentials. So if they do get past Baylor, I'll probably roll into KC early for that. So I'll be alongside, you know, elbowing you in the ribs.
I had a party planned for Saturday night. I thought you were going to be down there then. All right, that's all right.
I'm sorry. You know, that's the tough thing about, and we didn't know, of course, that they were going to get the double bye. But, I mean, to potentially be there Saturday through.
You would say they snuck in then.
Saturday. Prior to the season, yes. Prior to the beginning of the season. surprised, no doubt. But yeah, I mean, it should be a fun tournament. Keep an eye on it. I know you'll do good stuff there. But like you said, I mean, can Iowa State win it? Sure. But I really don't like them as a matchup with Texas. It's always been a tough problem. Now they did it last season. They won it last season with a heck of an effort. So they're capable when they're playing well of beating anybody in the league. But Texas seems to – or previously Baylor – but recently, Texas seems to be their toughest matchup. And, you know, you just roll them out and see. I mean, like I said, it should be a really competitive tournament once you get past the first day, and it should be a lot of fun.
And if you guys out there are thinking about those results, thinking about those games with Texas and Baylor in the past, I will say the motivating factor when you're deep into a tournament, you're at the end of your season, and how this team is playing right now as well. Iowa State's not going to muck it up in game 21 of the season. Game 31, that completely different story. You saw how physical they were against Texas last year in that game, and it still doesn't translate to going and winning the next week, and it's a completely different tournament. So take the wins or losses how they come. We'll see how they shake out, and I'll at least be there for all of the games. Rob will be down there at some point, but I'll work my ass off until he gets there, and we'll have all the coverage for you. So let's throw it to Billy. Are we good?
Yeah, we're good. Good to be with you. Hopefully I'll get my little mini cold taken care of.
Awesome. Well, here he is, guys. Billy Finley.
Cyclone Fanatic would like to welcome a new partner to our family of advertisers, Central States Roofing, which is based out of Ames. Central States Roofing is a proud family-owned company, dates back to 1968. It is owned and operated by lifelong Cyclone fans and Iowa State supporters. My favorite thing about Central States Roofing is that 100% of their employees are local. They do not subcontract any of their work. Central States Roofing handles commercial projects within a 75-mile radius of Ames, Des Moines, and Fort Dodge. Cyclone Fanatic thanks them for sponsoring our coverage of the Cyclones this March. You can learn more about this great Cyclone-owned company at csroofing.com.
All right, guys. Now joined here on the Cyclone Fanatic Big 12 Tournament Preview Show with Iowa State Assistant Coach Billy Finley. Thanks for taking the time, Coach. How's it going?
It's going well. Appreciate it. Yeah, kind of nice to have a few days to just kind of do a couple workouts and try to get better, watch a little extra film, and we'll use that time. And then we're going to really start getting after it tomorrow and head down to Kansas City on Thursday.
Yeah, this has to be a good chunk of days off for you guys, especially sneaking in the four seed. You got one extra day to prepare, right?
Yeah, no doubt. We took obviously Sunday off, which we've been doing all year long. We took yesterday off with a little extra rehab. Today we're kind of, you know, just doing some workouts and light work, and then we'll really start getting into some stuff without knowing exactly who you're going to play. You know, it's kind of an opportunity to work on yourself, work on some things that we need to get better at, regardless of who we play in Kansas City or in the NCAA tournament. So just trying to shore up a few things without going too crazy. But, you know, the good thing is we've played everybody once, obviously with the exception of TCU, but if we saw them, it'd be a long ways away. But so, you know, you've already seen them once, and you know, prep at this stage is pretty short and sweet, and we'll do that as we get closer to Saturday.
Is there any unique challenges that people might not see coming when you have to technically prepare for three teams, or do you guys kind of angle it heavy towards who you think you're gonna end up seeing?
We really don't. We don't try to, you know, guess or anything like that. You know, I think we have a pretty good idea of how we want to play each of the opponents. With that being said, obviously that's different. And that would be the same case when we get to the NCAA tournament. So we're really trying to work on everything, not get too specific on any one thing, any one team. We're going to try to do that the next couple of days and really just go down there with an open mindset and take it one game at a time. And the good thing is, with the way it's set up this year, which is a little bit funky, but if we were to win Saturday, you have Sunday off. So you can kind of regroup then, but really trying to attack that first game. Obviously, you know, most people would say that it could be Baylor, but based on seedings, and, you know, I guess I would be honest and say I'd be surprised if it's not, but that's what these tournaments are all about. You know, Houston and Texas Tech have won their fair share of games. Texas Tech obviously beat us in the only game we played. So, It'll be a battle down there. All those games will be crazy. They'll all be great to watch. And Saturday, more importantly, you're going to see you have a chance to see seven out of eight teams that'll be in the NCAA tournament. And it'll be a really, really great day for women's basketball down in Kansas City at the T-Mobile.
Yeah, I'm excited to be down there for Cyclone Fanatic. And obviously, I think everyone in Ames at least would rather have the tournaments together. But either way, it's still going to end up being special at the end of the week. What's the Sunday off day throw into that mix? Is there kind of an extra motivation there to let's get to this off day. Then you got the semis and the action kind of picks up from there.
Yeah, I think you always want, you always go down there and you always want to stay as long as humanly possible. You know, everybody looks forward to it. You get down there Thursday, you know, you don't play till Saturday. Or, you know, right last year when we went down, you're always going down 2 days before. And it's always like, okay, you know, this could, we could have to go home tomorrow. We could have to go home tomorrow. And obviously with an off day, you know, if you win one, you get two extra days, so to speak. So more so than anything, it's just enjoying that atmosphere. Fans will be down there. You know, what's unique is that as we've been young all year long and everything's been a new experience, you know, we're going down there hoping to repeat what we did last year without much of what was on our roster last year. So, but that's fun too. They all watch, they all understand, and they have a belief. And obviously Emily and I have done a good job of talking about some of those memories that we've had and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't think it's too much, you know, I don't know, you know, in terms of a day off, it's more so just the benefit of getting to stay and not having to come home, because as soon as we come home, win, lose or draw, we're going to have a few days off and have to sit here and wait until Selection Sunday to figure out where we go next. So let's prolong that as long as possible and keep playing as long as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about all the seniors' leadership from this year, obviously, has been really important. We saw it, what Hannah did in that game Saturday. And obviously, Nye's had some great moments this year, too. But when Emily, you were the first one to find out that Emily was coming back for an extra year, right?
Yeah, we kind of had, I mean, you know, we all kind of mess with her a little bit here and there. And, you know, obviously when she wasn't super healthy in the beginning of the year, she was kind of, you know, whatever. But I knew I had a good feeling as she started to get picked up and started to get going. And now I think you're seeing her play her best basketball all year long right now. When a lot of kids are hitting the wall, she doesn't have those extra, you know, 8 to 10 games on her legs yet. And so we're really hoping that can carry us through here in this stretch run where we feel like we've played the best. But always kind of felt like, you know, she would want to play the game as long as humanly possible. And that's just the type of kid she is. That's how she was raised. That's what she wants to shoot as long as possible. She wants to practice as long as possible. It doesn't matter what it is. She just loves the game. So, you know, without getting too, you know, optimistic, because you're talking about, you know, a fifth year kid who totally, you know, gives you a chance to go into next year with, and even if she's not playing, I think as we saw early in this year, and a lot of people alluded to it, just her presence, you know, AJ would be the first one and probably the one who benefited the most from her, again, not even playing, but just there in practice every single day in her ear. She really is a coach on the court, a coach on the sideline when she's not in. So she's a huge, huge benefit to us, regardless of whether she was playing or not. We would have somehow tried to find a way to keep her involved in what we got going on, because she's just too valuable not to.
And between her and Nye, how much can that experience, you know, carry over? Obviously you guys have coached in so many Big 12 tournaments and, you know, you've seen everything about them, but how can a player, you know, experiencing winning the whole thing, how can that carry over and help your team?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, it can only help by them just saying, hey, look, you know, we're going to go into a tournament where we feel like we could beat anybody and vice versa. You know, anybody kind of feels like they could beat us. And I think across the board in our league, you can see that, you know, Oklahoma beat Texas twice, and we only played Oklahoma and Texas once. We beat Baylor in the one game we played them, you know, but obviously we beat Kansas State twice, but Kansas State beat a lot of people, you know. And so I think it's just, it's all about your matchups and, you know, who's peaking at the right time, who's staying relatively healthy. You know, I think with our depth, you know, and, you know, again, we talk about how young we are, but to say that we're one of the deepest teams in the league, I think is an accurate statement. We got 9 kids averaging double-digit minutes. So obviously to go into a short time frame tournament, you know, we'll play at 11. If you get the benefit of winning, you got more than 48 hours before you play your next game. So that's not going to be an issue. And then again, if you have a chance to win that one, now you're playing at 8 o'clock Tuesday night in the biggest game of the year. So no, fatigue's not going to be an issue. It's going to be who makes the plays, who executes, you know, playing in T-Mobile's new for everybody. You know, obviously that's the reason why we're not there with the men. And I agree with you. I would much rather play at Municipal and be down there with the men, just because the atmosphere is so great, and why we wouldn't want to pair up with the best college basketball tournament in the country. again, I didn't get a vote on that. I know one person who did, and I know one person who voted apparently against everybody else. But Iowa State just takes over down there. But I think it'll be fun. It'll be a really cool atmosphere. We're going to get to play in that great arena. They'll do a great job, making it presentable and making it look really good for us. And the more you win, the more the fans will come down. And if you're lucky enough to get to the point where you're playing Monday and Tuesday, there'll be a lot of people down there.
Now, you guys in Ames, always every season you play a school day game where we seemingly listen to Baby Shark about four or five different times throughout the day with an 11 o'clock tip. That's what you got Saturday. Does that kind of help you prepare, and are you excited to play an 11 o'clock game without hearing Baby Shark? I guess you got young enough kids, you're probably still hearing it all the time anyway, right?
I think mine finally grew out of that. I will say that we did go through a phase of that. And wow, that'll set you back. But I'm lucky to say that we grew out of that, I think. But, I think every player wants to get up and play. I really do. I think, the last couple of games, we could have finished anywhere between third and seventh, even as of early last week, I think, with two games left. And the one thing that we didn't really care, where it was. Obviously, the double bye is unique, so the top four is a little bit of an added benefit. More so, it's just if you're the sixth seed or something, or even the three, you're playing at 8:30 at night. I mean, that's just a long – everybody's so excited. You've been down there for 2 days. The last thing you want to do is sit around in the hotel all day long before you get to play. Meanwhile, you're watching everybody else play. So I think more than anything, the 11 o'clock game is awesome. Our kids are super excited. We wake up, we eat some breakfast. We, probably walk through a little bit, get stretched out, throw the jersey on, let's go play, and then hopefully you win and you get the rest of the day to watch all those games and enjoy it. So, at this time of year, nobody wants to sit around and wait. There's nothing worse than being on the road in the Big 12 and playing a 7 o'clock Saturday game or anything like that. So, we love those early games, and I don't know if the kids' day helps us or hurts us or not. At this point, I don't know that there's really much correlation, but I do know this, that we are excited to play at 11.
Absolutely. And then obviously Big 12 awards came out today. Audie Crooks, one of four unanimous first team players. What was it like to see what she was able to do this year, averaging over 18 points, and what she kind of grew into towards the last 10-game stretch of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. Obviously, we always felt like she could be or would be that player. You never knew when. But it was, she's very, a lot of people across the state obviously have watched her for a long time. And, she'd go to the state tournament and throw up 30, 40, 50. And it was, it was because she's playing against kids that are 5'8". It was because she was this. It was because she was that. And everybody always found a reason why she wasn't going to be that successful at our level. And to see a kid who's a freshman from a 1A school in Iowa be one of four unanimous, first-team all-league kids in the number two-ranked league in the country, according to the net. So I'm not even going to throw my bias in there. The fact is, it's the number two. I think is amazing, and I think it's a testament to how hard she's worked. It's a testament to our staff, our strength staff, our trainers who have kept her healthy and everything like that. And she's just getting better and better every single day. And she always comes into the gym. What you see is exactly what you get from her. It's every day, and she's always smiling. She's almost too loose from time to time. It's like, hey, she'll be super super loose. We're like, hey, you got Yoki Lee tonight. She not bad. We gotta hone this in a little bit. But she just loves the challenge, and she loves to play. She loves her teammates. Her teammates love playing with her. And there's not a center in the country that I'd trade her for. And blessed that we get to have her for three more years. But super appreciative and love what she's done this year, obviously.
You mentioned that game against Kansas State. What was just seeing that, obviously, the come to fruition thing, you knew kind of by that first game how it was going to go, but I thought she even got better in that one-on-one matchup and being able to, even on TV, you could see it happen play after play. And what was it like to be there and see how she attacked Aoka?
Yeah, I think really she's just up for the challenge. She likes to play against bigger kids. Most big post players do, they don't like somebody around their shoulders and somebody that they can't feel and put their hands on. That's usually the way it goes. So conversely, Yoki probably prefers to play against somebody like Audie as well. But, you know, I really think the one thing that Audie doesn't get enough credit for is when she's in the position, you know, she makes it hard to score on her. And she's not going to block a bunch of shots. She's probably not going to win any Defensive Player of the Year awards because her stats aren't going to be there. But it's really hard to get a good position on her. And, again, you're talking about an 18-year-old kid. You're talking about a freshman in college who's guarding. I mean, Yoki's got to be 23, 24. I mean, you know, I mean, and that's a kid who's an All-American, you know, who scored 61 recently, who's going to be a pro, you know. So we're not just talking about some random big kid. This kid's pretty good, you know. So I think that's – she's always up for the challenge. She never shies away. You know, she's not looking for help. She's not looking for an excuse of you know, this isn't going to work well because, you know, here's this, here's that. She's like, okay, tell me what you need me to do. I'm going to try to do it to the best of my ability. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but she's going to give it her all. And that's all we can ask for at this stage. And she's been a joy to coach. And I'm looking forward to, you know, hopefully we can do our job and the other players can do their job. And, you know, our freshmen have got a lot of love locally, rightfully so, a little bit nationally. But I think what they're doing, and it's all five of them. I mean, if you didn't have Addie and Audie, everybody would be talking about AJ and Kelsey and JB, because what they're doing as freshmen is not normal, you know, let alone, you know, it just happens to be that they're playing with two other freshmen at a position more of need that are getting a little bit more, you know, numbers wise. But what that whole class has done, all five of them, to jump into this situation with two transfers and then two seniors who have both missed considerable time and put us in a spot where we got a double bye, is amazing. I mean, we finished 12-6. Last year's team was pretty damn good. They went 11-7, you know? And so again, not compare year to year, everything's different, every schedule's different, but to be where we are right now, we're very happy over here. We're very excited. And I think we're playing our best basketball, and I wouldn't want to see us here coming down the stretch.
Absolutely. And then, yeah, I wanted to mention Addie Brown led your team in rebounding this year. I know how much you and your dad value rebounding the basketball, but honorable mention in the All Big 12 awards. And obviously the entire freshman class has just been, I think, something that a lot of people didn't see coming, in not in a bad way or anything like that, but it just, you didn't think it would play out as quote unquote perfectly or close to perfectly as it could for you guys. And as you said, 12-6 is a record to be absolutely proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, Addie's one of those kids where anybody who watched us early on was like, wow, this kid could be really special. You know, she can score it. She can rebound it. She passes at a high level. If we play enough games, she could break the freshman assist record. She's right there. It's really close. And that's a kid who's playing the four for us, you know? So it's just the way she passes is really good. Obviously doesn't hurt to be able to throw a high low pass to a kid who's 60% on the block, averaging 20 a game, again, in her freshman counterpart, Naughty. So that helps the assist numbers. But I think you're exactly right. It was just what these guys came into, you know, to throw AJ into the fire when Emily wasn't fully healthy right away, to go through the non-conference schedule that we went through. You know, we lost to Vanderbilt, who's on the bubble of the NCAA tournament, Syracuse, who's a top 4 or 5 seed, Iowa, who's not bad, gets a lot of recognition, and, you know, Drake, who won their league and probably should be in the NCAA tournament too. So those are your 4 losses without Emily Ryan. And, you know, with playing freshmen who literally are in their 3rd, 4th, 5th game of their career, right out of, you know, high school basketball. So again, we talk about it a lot. I know you guys do. The local media does a great job of it. Hopefully we play some really meaningful games on TV and the national media can catch on, because there's a lot of freshmen in the country getting a lot of notoriety. Again, some of ours are that way. But what this group did as a whole, I think, is one of the things that's probably most amazing. One of the better storylines in the country in women's basketball. So very proud of all of them. They brought a lot of energy. There was a lot of doubt around, you know, April and May. We're not going to shy away from that. We understand everything that everybody was talking about and where people went. And if they go back and take a look at some stats of where those people are now, you know, maybe we don't look so bad. Maybe they regret that. And ultimately it doesn't matter, because we don't regret anything. And things would be different if people were here, you know, and our freshmen were up to the challenge. They were ready to walk right in and play right away. And it was a top 10 class that a lot of people talked a lot about, you know, and Addie Brown got a lot of notoriety being a McDonald's All-American kid. But you never know how that's going to translate right away. And again, this wasn't like take the training wheels off and slowly work your way back in. Okay, Emily Ryan's here and AJ's going to get 5 minutes, then eight, then 12. I mean, we were going right at it right away. And so happy for them, and they're a joy to be around, and just excited that they're gonna run this thing back. And we're playing at a really high level right now. I think Hannah's playing at the highest level she's played all year. She looks super comfortable. I think Emily Ryan looks really, really comfortable now. Nellie, when she comes in, is looking comfortable. Nye's healthy. So, again, we know our limitations, but somebody's going to have to beat us, and I think we're going to be a hard out.
Awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time, Coach. I really appreciate it. Get a couple wins in the postseason. I think that national attention will come a lot easier, right?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for all you guys do. Thanks, Connor.
See you down in KC.